I want to preach a message this morning that goes along with our theme for the year of 2021, and we have opened this year. This is now the fifth Sunday in January, and so now this will be the ninth message that we've been able to preach on Sundays in the year of 2021 and the month of January. And we started out the month encouraging you when it comes to this thought of pressing on. And the idea that Paul gives us in many of his books, illustration, the analogy of a runner that's running in the race and trying to get to the finish line and trying to obtain the prize. And we took you to the passage of Scripture that he encourages us with that in the book of Philippians, and then also in 1 Corinthians, and then we went to 1 Timothy, and then we talked from the book of Hebrews as well. And then we went to the book of Galatians. And in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 7, Paul said something at the end of that book. That's the last chapter in the book of Galatians. And he says this to the Galatian Christians. He said, "Who did hinder you?" You started out the race well, he said. You did run well, but who did hinder you? And we know that the hindrance that the Galatian Christians faced was false teaching and false teachers. And so we know what hindered them in the race, but the encouragement that we are giving to ourselves through that passage in Galatians chapter number 5 is that it is possible to be hindered in the race. It is possible to have hindrances in the Christian race. And so the last couple Sundays, we've been dealing with these. We talked two Sundays ago about the hindrance of discouragement. And in the Christian life, it is possible to be discouraged. I would say that perhaps every one of us would say that there are times where we've been discouraged. We've been down. We've been in a place where we're discouraged. But what I tried to encourage you with that was this, not to stay there long, but to allow other Christians to encourage you. And by the way, we ought to be doing that as Christians, encouraging one another, but then also be encouraged in the Lord. And we've got His Word. We've got the comfort of Scriptures to go to. So let's not stay discouraged long. And then last Sunday, in both of our service times, we dealt with the hindrance of doubt. It is possible to doubt. And that would be a hindrance in the Christian race. Possible to doubt our salvation, or possible to doubt even in our Christian life as we go along our journey in life in this Christian race that we're called to run. It may be that we have times in which we've been discouraged and times where we have doubted. But again, don't stay there long. Let God encourage you. Let other Christians come along beside you, encourage you. And let's be believing and not doubtful. Let's trust God. Let's believe. And then we will see what He has for us. But then we want to turn now this morning to Acts chapter number 27. And we want to look at another hindrance in the race. And the hindrance we want to look at today, we've looked at the hindrance of discouragement, and we've looked at the hindrance of doubt, but this morning I want to talk to you about the hindrance of difficulties. The hindrance of difficulties. And we're going to use a passage here in Acts chapter number 27, where it talks about a storm that the Apostle Paul went through. And we know that the Apostle Paul has written these other books that have encouraged us when it comes to running in the race and pressing on to win and obtain the prize. But here's another passage, not written, not a book that was written by Paul, but a story about the life of Paul that we see here in Acts chapter number 27, where Paul faced a time of a storm on the Mediterranean Sea. Now, what we want to encourage ourselves with is this. We want to encourage ourselves to press on through the storms of life. There are going to be storms that we face. I want to say this about Acts chapter number 27. I do believe that Acts chapter 27 was put into the Bible to teach us lessons. Obviously, everything we look at in the Word of God has a purpose. And I think Acts chapter number 27 could certainly teach us lessons that we can apply when it comes to pressing on through the storms that we go through in life. Now, can I say this? There are going to be times in the Christian race where you'll face discouragement. There will be times where you will face doubt. And there will be times where you will have difficulties along the way. God did not promise that after we got saved, everything would be perfect in our lives. But instead, there are times where there are storms, there are difficulties. Before we start reading in Acts chapter number 27, every time I think of a storm, I think of the one time while I was down at college in Pensacola where we had to go through a hurricane. The hurricane at that time, it was in 1998 when I was in college. It was my sophomore and then junior year of college. And I remember going through Hurricane Georges. And the thing that they had prepared very well there at college because they knew, obviously, Pensacola, the problems of hurricanes right there where Pensacola is located. And so they had prepared themselves very well. The buildings are built to withstand hurricane winds. And they had a plan. And so they put us inside of our dorm rooms. The dorm rooms, obviously, were very safe. And so they had us staying in our dorm rooms. And I tell you, you talk about trying to find ways that you can fill your time. And filling your time without getting yourself in trouble, that was difficult. But we're in our dorms there during Hurricane Georges, and I remember they had boxed meals prepared just in case there would be a hurricane. They had these boxed meals prepared, and so you'd get these boxed meals delivered to your room. And this went on for a couple days where we had to stay inside of our room. And I remember one of the big conversations everyone was having. And you'd probably think of this as being a little silly. But one of the big conversations that we were having there in our dorm rooms, one of the professors that worked at the college there, he was known for having perfect hair. I don't even know how much hairspray he had to use to make his hair the way it did. But it literally looked like it was a perfect helmet that was placed right on top of his head. Not a hair out of place. And the conversation in the dorm rooms was something like this. I wonder if this certain professor went outside and the wind blew his hair and it messed up his hair. I mean, we were wanting to see if there would be one time, just one time during the course of our college life there that we could see this professor with just one hair messed up and out of place. And so you'd say, it does sound like you were getting kind of bored there in the room trying to fill your time with stuff. But we were just wondering if this man had gone out in the wind and if his hair had messed up at all. But I remember the devastation that we found when we went outside of our rooms. They finally, after the storm cleared, they allowed us to come back. And we went back to classes and we went back to services and chapel. And everything went on like normal. But when we went outside, I remember just the devastation of looking on campus at the way the wind and that storm had come through and just had wrecked havoc. You know, I think about that storm that took place, and I think about the time when we were in there in the dorm room, and we're going to get to this in just a minute. I think about the time when we were just riding out the storm. We were just waiting it out. And you know, here's Paul in Acts chapter number 27, and Paul is a prisoner at the time. And he is being sent to Rome, and he's going to go to Rome on board a boat. And when he gets to Rome, he is going to be tried. Now, we're going to see in just a minute that God has a wonderful purpose for Paul. And so Paul is not on board this ship by accident. This story is not in the Bible by accident. God has some great truths that he wants us to learn. But while Paul is as a prisoner being sent to Rome to be tried, he's going to face a storm along the way. But here's the good news, and by the way, an application for all of us as well, before we even begin reading in Acts chapter number 27, God is going to give his assurance to Paul. Isn't it great, by way of application, that when we go through the storms of life, God is there to always give us his assurance? Isn't that comforting? That when you go through the sufferings and the difficulties and the storms of life, God is there to give you his assurance. But not only does he give Paul assurance, he also guides him through the storm. God's assurance that he is there, his presence is there with us, but he's also guiding us through the storm as well. But it's not just his assurance, and it's not just his guidance, but it's also the fact that he delivered him through the storm as well. Aren't you glad by way of application that when we go through the storms of life and the difficulties of life, we do not have to be hindered in the race and derailed in the race because we can have God's assurance And we can have God as our guide, and we know a comfort from Scripture that God will deliver us through the storms of life that we go through. Here's what I want you to notice before we even get to Acts chapter number 27. God had a purpose for the life of Paul, and this is going to be very important throughout this message. You have to understand the purpose that God had for Paul. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 23, you just stay there in Acts chapter 27, but in Acts chapter 23 verse 11 it says this, "And the night following the Lord stood by him." Now this is Paul. The Lord stands by him in Acts chapter 23 and verse number 11, and he said this. He said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Now, wait a minute. Let's back up just a second. We just said a moment ago that Paul is going through a storm while he's on his way to Rome. So while he's going through this storm on his way to Rome, he already has the assurance that God says, "I'm going to use you to bear witness of me while you're at Rome." So before we would even begin reading Acts chapter 27, we already know that God has promised Paul deliverance. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that encouraging? So let's look at Acts chapter 27. We'll start in verse number 1. It says, "And it was determined that we should sail into Italy. They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One, Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary." Now remember what it says at the end of verse number 4 there. Look at verse 5. "And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy." And then notice what it says in verse number 6. "And he put us therein." So now Paul, as a prisoner being sent to Rome to be tried, is now on this boat and they're going to make their journey toward Rome. But remember what we said just a moment ago. First, he was going to have to make it through a storm. And again, in our lives, by way of application, we're going to make application of this throughout the message. Sometimes we have times where we go through storms. We would call them, again, the storms of life. Now, can we give you a couple thoughts about the storms of life that we can go through? Number one, no one volunteers for these. It's not as if Paul was itching to get on that boat to go through a terrible storm on the Mediterranean Sea. Now, those were the storms of real life, but then think about the storms of life in the Christian race or in your Christian life. No one volunteers to go through these storms. But can I say this? No matter who you are, there are times where storms will come. Sometimes storms can come in our life. And in the storms of life, we as Christians will have to face the fury and we'll have to face the force of them. Just like Paul had to face the force and the fury of the storm in Acts chapter number 27. Just because we're Christians and we're in the race doesn't mean that we're exempt from the storms of life. We want to remember that. Just because we're in the Christian race, just because we're desiring to press on, as our theme says, it doesn't mean that we're exempt from the storms of life. It might be a storm of an unexpected phone call. And by the way, an unexpected phone call can change life quickly, can it? And maybe it's the storm of a medical report where the doctor says, "I'm sorry, but this is the medical report that I've got to give you. This is the news I've got to share with you." And life can bring a storm very quickly, can it? Maybe for some, you would say, "I've gone through the storm of losing someone or losing something." And how quickly it changes life. Suddenly, life can turn upside down. And just like I did, when I was at Pensacola in 1998, the exact thing that we do in the storms of life. We run for cover, and we're getting to the place where we're waiting the storm out. Aren't you thankful that the cover that we can run to is God? And aren't you thankful that we can wait out the storm and know that His presence is going to be there with us while we wait out the storm? Aren't you glad that He is there to help you through any storm that you go through? I heard it once said this way, and I think it's so true. I heard a preacher once say, "I'd rather be in the storm with Jesus than outside of a storm without Him." And you know, that's a great truth, isn't it? You say, well, it's more comfortable outside the storm, but if you don't have Jesus, He's the one that brings us comfort, isn't He? So I'd rather be in the storm with Jesus than outside of the storm without Him. And so here's the story in Acts chapter number 27. And it gives us some truths that help us to be able to wait out the storm and to be able to ride through the storms of life. Not just waiting it out till it comes to an end, but also riding it out and knowing that God is there to give us help every step of the way as we face this storm that we go through, the difficulties of life. Don't let them become a hindrance, but wait out the storm with God as your shelter and your cover, and run to Him for help and ride through the storm with His presence with you. Look with me, if you would, at Acts chapter 27 in verse number 7. Here's what I want us to notice. In verse number 7, it says this, "And when we had sailed slowly many days," and remember that verse because it's going to be important here in just a minute, "and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salom, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lysi. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them." Now, there's a couple important words in verse number 9. So let's go back to that for just a second. It says towards the end of verse number 9, it says, "because the fast was now already past." Now, that would be a time where the fast would take place. It would occur on the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement had a certain time of year in which it took place. It was towards the latter part of September and the early part of October, which would mean that it was the end of the usual shipping season. And to travel on the Mediterranean Sea was too hazardous to attempt. And so Paul is about to admonish them. And I want you to notice when we look through verse 10 and 11 and verse number 12, I want us to notice something specific that we're going to see in these three verses. Verse 10 and verse 11 and verse number 12. I want us to notice some reasons why we can encounter storms that are really brought on by ourselves. It is possible to go through the storms of life, and we bring them upon our own selves. And we're going to notice what happened on this ship, where some reasons behind the storm, and they were brought on by the individuals that were on that boat. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. "And he said unto them," this is Paul now, "he said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." He said, hey, if we travel on and we go farther on this journey, it certainly could become a very dangerous journey. Not only for the possessions that are on the boat, not only for the ship itself, but also it could be a danger to our lives. We could even lose our own lives. Look at the admonition that Paul gives. Look at verse 11. And then it says, "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest." The encouragement was for Paul was to say, hey, let's wait here a little while. Let's wait here maybe until this season passes us by, until the hazardous condition on the Mediterranean Sea passes by. He offers them this advice. But you'll notice, starting in verse number 11, they refuse Paul's advice. By the way, can we say this about Paul? He's soon to be proven right, isn't he? He's soon to be proven that the advice that he gives them in verse number 10 is the correct advice and the advice that they should have listened to. But I want you to notice, I want you to see some reasons why they encountered the storm. Reasons why they encountered the storm that were brought on by their own selves. Sometimes we can bring about the storms of life on our own self when we make selfish choices, selfish decisions. The first thing I want you to notice was this, an unwillingness to wait. We would define it as the word impatience. Impatience led them into the storm. Notice, I told you we were going to come back to these verses. Notice the end of verse number 4. It says, because the winds were contrary. So it had already talked to us about how the winds were contrary. And then notice what it says at the very beginning of verse number 7. And when we had sailed slowly many days, the sailing was very slow. Look at verse 7. And scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us. So the sailing is slow, the wind is hindering them. Look at verse number 8, the very beginning. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, meaning sailing already has been very difficult. It had been a very difficult journey already. But they said, now's our chance. Let's make a run for it now. And can I encourage you by way of application? That's exactly what our flesh will tell us. That's exactly what the devil will tell us. Hey, hurry! Don't wait! There's no chance like now. That's exactly what the devil will tell us. It reminds me of the salesman that'll say, well, this special is on for today and today only, and you've got to take advantage of it today, and if you don't take advantage of it today, it'll pass you by or it'll be sold to somebody else. That's exactly what the devil wants to get us to believe. But you know what? The God that we serve, He leads us, and He wants us to act on our insight, and insight comes from the Word of God. But the flesh and the devil, they don't lead us. Instead, they shove us. And they want us to act on our impulse. They want us to make impulsive decisions. And sometimes, sadly, by way of application in our lives, sometimes, sadly, we are so easily able to cooperate with the flesh. We're so easily able to cooperate with the devil. When God is telling us to wait, just trust me. But we get impatient and we go by our impulses and we follow the flesh and we follow the devil and it leads us straight into the storms of life. But then I want you to notice a second thing, not only an unwillingness to wait, but also they listen to the wrong advice. They listen to the wrong advice. Notice what the Bible says at the very beginning of verse number 10. It says, and he said unto them, sirs, I perceive. Paul uses that word perceive there. He's not only saying it's good judgment that we don't go any further, because the Mediterranean Sea can be very hazardous at this time. So it's not just good judgment that we go forward, but it's also based on experience. Paul is saying, hey, I've got some experience with this. As a matter of fact, we're not going to take time to turn there, but if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 25, especially if you want to write that verse down, Paul describes the fact that he has gone through shipwreck three different times. So Paul is saying, not only is it good judgment that we stay and we wait here, but it's also, I'm speaking by experience. I'm trying to give you this advice by experience. But what does the Bible tell us the centurion does? Look at verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master. He listened to the wrong advice. He believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. He underestimated Paul and he overestimated the captain of the ship. You know, the world may insist on guiding us by human reason, but that's not how God wants us to guide ourselves. The Christian who is in communion with Jesus, who is the great pilot, the great captain, we may know more about sailing, the storms of life, than even a very seasoned captain, because he doesn't have that walk and that relationship and that communion with Christ. And that's exactly what we see here. They listened to the wrong advice. Let's stay on board with Jesus as Christians. Let's have communion with Him. And you'll find that the knowledge that He gives you and the wisdom that He gives you and the direction and the guidance that He gives you can be more to our advantage than even a very seasoned captain when they're not willing to pray and not willing to guide themselves and direct themselves and find wisdom from God. They listen to the wrong advice. But then, number three, I want you to notice this. They didn't just move on impatiently and listen to the wrong advice, but they also desired comfort and convenience. You know, sometimes that's exactly why we walk into storms, because we desire comfort and convenience instead of the peace of God. Can I say to you by way of application that the peace of God far outweighs comfort and convenience? You might say, well, it's convenient to make this choice. It's comfortable to make this choice. But God says, I would more importantly desire you to have peace. Notice what it says in verse number 12. It says this, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in. The word commodious there has the idea of it's not convenient. It's not suitable. It's not fit, or we would say it's inconvenient, it's unsuitable, it's unfit. It's not as comfortable or as convenient as we would like it to be to have to stay here for a season of time, like Paul encourages them to hang out and wait until this season has passed. And it's important for us as Christians to remember to seek peace more than seeking convenience, more than seeking comfort. Let's not end up in the storm because we chose comfort over peace. Let's not end up in the storm because we chose convenience over peace. The first thing we said that they brought upon themselves when it came to this storm was an unwillingness to wait. And then we said, number two, listening to the wrong advice and then choosing comfort and convenience over the peace that was advised to them. But then number four, I want you to notice this, and this is really tucked right into verse number 12 that we've got to notice. They listened to the majority. You know, when we listen to the majority, a lot of times the majority can lead us astray, can't they? Notice what it says in verse number 12. It says, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also. There were over 200 souls on this boat. And the Bible tells us that it's almost as if they took a vote. A vote was taken. And the crowd that wanted to move on outnumbered the crowd that said it would be safer to stay right here. Notice again what it says in verse 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence. So the majority of the crowd said, you know, I'd rather move on. And you know, because they listened to the majority, they were led straight into the storm. But we've got to move on to the passage, because now we're going to notice the outcome of riding into the storm. Now, the storm was brought on because of some choices that they had made. And so now we know they're going to be riding into the storm. But what are the truths that we have to remember? What is the outcome when it comes to riding into this storm? Paul gives us some encouragement. Look at verse number 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Heraclidon. So a storm comes up. Matter of fact, this is a very heavy wind that comes up. The storm starts to develop here on the Mediterranean Sea. Let's notice now what the Bible says in verse number 15. And when the storm was caught and could not bear up into the wind, when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when we had taken up, they used helps, ungirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, struck sail and were driven. Now notice, in verse number 18, it starts to get sad. We're going to notice the outcome of riding in the storm. Notice verse 18. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And notice verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. What does verse number 20 tell us? Hope was gone, wasn't it? Have you ever been at that place in life where you say it just seems like all hope is gone? You know, because we know Christ as Savior, we would never be able to say that all hope is gone. Because we have a firm confidence that God is going to keep His Word. There is going to be an expected end. That's what gives us hope as a Christian. We go through the struggles that we've gone through even in the last year, in the year of 2020, the difficulties that we face there, and we move on into 2021, pressing on for the glory of God, knowing that we have hope. Because we've trusted Him as our Savior, and He's given us great promises that one day He's going to come. One day we're going to get to live in a mansion. One day we're going to get to see those who have gone on before us. But you know what? It is true that sometimes while we're running the Christian race, it is true that we can get to a place where we might perhaps feel like all hope is gone. Have you been at that place? That's where they are. It feels as if all hope is gone, but Paul decides... This is what I love about this passage. Paul decides, hey, this is a teachable moment. This is a moment where I'm going to use to teach them something. Who do you think he's going to teach them about? He's going to teach them about God, isn't he? Notice verse number 21, it says this. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. You ever heard anybody say to you, if you'd only listen to me? If you'd only done what I told you to do, that's what Paul says. Hey, you should have listened to me. Remember, I told you just a while back in the message that Paul was going to be proven to be true. It was going to be proved true what Paul had said. We better wait here. We better wait out a season. The Mediterranean Sea is too hazardous to move on. Well, it's proving that Paul was true. He was right. They should have listened to his advice. He said, hey, if you'd only listened to me, but notice what he says, and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. But now notice verse number 22. We discover something about Paul. And here's what we discover. We discover that through the storm that Paul is facing, he has an anchor. And aren't you glad that when we go through the storms of life, we have an anchor? We're going to discover the anchor that Paul has in time of need. You know, as I was preparing this message, God even spoke to my heart in such a way where I said to God, Lord, help me to always be like Paul. Help me to always realize that no matter what storm of life I go through, I will realize that you are my anchor. I can run to you. You're my hope. Help us to be like Paul. Notice what Paul says in verse number 22. It says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now, can you imagine somebody standing in front of you and quieting you down while you're in the midst of a storm? And he probably even had to shout over the winds. He probably even had to shout over the waves to get all of their attention. And he says these words, be of good cheer. Man, can you imagine somebody saying that to you while you're facing a storm? Hey, be of good cheer. But there again, that's where Christians can encourage one another, can't we? Hey, be of good cheer. You're going through a storm, but be of good cheer, Paul says. And notice what he says. For there shall no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now, if you would go back to verse number 10, Paul, when he first spoke up and he talked to them about the hazards of the Mediterranean Sea, he told them that perhaps there would be some lives lost. But now, when we go over to verse number 22, God has spoken to him and he's let him know no one's going to lose their life. Do you realize that while they were in that boat, the only reason their life was going to be saved was because they were right there with Paul? Really, their life was going to be delivered because Paul was there with them. God had a special purpose for Paul. Remember that verse we read in Acts chapter number 23? Notice the anchor that Paul has in the time of the storm. It kind of reminds me of that song that we sing in our hymnal, the Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Listen to this, the raging floods may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. What does Paul teach us here? Look at verse number 23. It says this, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God." Now we've got to stress those two words, the angel of God. Here's what Paul's trying to say. Number one, I want to let you know, I want to let everybody on this ship know, be of good cheer because number one, there is a God. That's my anchor. Number one, there is a God. Here's what Paul is doing. He's given us a perfect example of practicing the presence of God. God is with us all the time and we practice the presence of God. Oh yes, it may be that you can't see Him through the storm. It may be that you feel like you can't hear Him through the storm, or it may feel like you think He's abandoned the boat, just like perhaps those on board may have thought. But there is a God, and He's here with us. Like the song says, "Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure." There is a God, and He is here with us as we go through the storms. But here's the second encouragement that Paul gives us. Look at verse number 23 at the end of the verse. He said, "An angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Here's what Paul says, number one, to remind us that God is his anchor. Number one, there is a God. And number two, I belong to Him. There is a God, and I belong to Him. Can I ask you today, by way of application, do the storms that you go through, while you're facing your storms, can you have confidence enough to say that? There is a God, and I belong to Him. You know, some can look at us and they can say, well, if He is your God, why did He allow you to go through the storm? Have you ever had somebody ask you that? You know, you say, well, there is a God, and I belong to Him. Okay, well, if He's your God and you belong to Him, then why are you going through the storm? Why did He allow it? Why did He allow you to go through this in your life? Can I say this? We don't always have the answer, do we? The great comforting truth is that we don't always have the answer, but we know that God is in control. You know, when we look at this passage, the focus of this passage is not why the storm happened, but it was the response in the storm. You may not know exactly why Paul went through the storm that he went through, but we do see Paul's response. And Paul's response was, there is a God, and I belong to Him. Can you respond in the storms of life the way Paul did? Can you respond and say, there is a God, and I belong to Him? Can you respond like Paul did? Can you respond like Job did? Remember what Job said? Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. There is a God, and I belong to Him. But then Paul gives us another encouragement. Look back to verse number 25, if you would, of Acts chapter 27, verse 25. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For," notice the next three words, "I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told." Here's what Paul's trying to say. Number one, there is a God. Number two, I belong to Him. And number three, I believe God. And I believe Him so much that whatever He says is going to happen, it will happen. I will trust Him. You know, storms can get to the place where it tests our trust, can it? Storms can test our trust. What Paul was, though, in that ship is an important encouragement for us, because what Paul was in that ship is the same way Christians ought to be in this world. When we go through the storms of life, we ought to have the same confidence that Paul had. There is a God, and I belong to Him, and I believe Him. You know, we don't have time to read through the rest of the passage. I hope you'll take time to read through the rest of the passage. We ended there in verse 25, so you would take the time to read through verse 26 all the way down through verse number 44. But I will comfort you, though, by looking at verse 44. Remember now, there's over 200 souls on this boat. Paul said, I have confidence in what God had told me. Everybody is going to be delivered alive. Notice what verse 44 says. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. You know, there's some lessons that we've learned today that we can apply to our lives during the storm. Can I give you just a few more applications in this passage of Scripture here that can encourage us and comfort us through the difficulties and the storms of life? Because listen, we don't want to let the difficulties of life to hinder us. Remember this by way of application. In the Christian life, as a Christian, it's not about the absence of storms. It's about the presence of God. So it's not about saying, Lord, make it so that I never have to go through a storm. It's not about saying it that way to God, but it's about saying to God, I'm going to trust that you're with me when I go through the storm. You know, we'll face difficulties of life. And it's not about asking God, Lord, help it to be that I always have an absence of storms. No, but I have the presence of God while I go through it. And then the second application we can learn from this passage that we need to apply in our life as Christians as we go through the storms of life and the difficulties of life, we may want Him to deliver us, but God's ultimate goal is to develop us. We may say, God, you know, I really want you to deliver me. I'm interested in getting through the storm. I want you just to deliver me through it. But you know what? That's not God's goal. God's goal, He's going to help us get through the storm, but God's goal is not that we get through the storm. He's interested in who we're going to be and what we will be when we get through it. He wants to develop us. He'll deliver us, but He also wants to develop us. We're interested in getting through the storm. He's interested in who we'll be and what we'll be when the storm comes to an end. Application number three is this. Even the worst storms that you'll ever face can never derail you from God's purpose in your life. Remember, we could go back to Acts chapter 23. Remember what God said? Just like you were a witness in Jerusalem, you're going to be a witness in Rome. God had a purpose for Paul. And no matter what storm you go through, it'll never derail you from God's plan and God's purpose for your life. He has a work for you to do. And there is no difficulty that you will ever face that'll get in the way of that. What does Psalm 46:10 say? Be still and know that I am God. Just be still through the storms of life and know that He is there. God promised to be faithful to His own in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the good times of life, but in the midst of the storms as well. So by way of application to conclude this message, can you answer a few questions in your heart this morning? And we'll have a moment where you can pray and you can speak to the Lord just like we normally would at the end of a service. But could you answer some questions in your heart? What is your storm today? What is the storm that you're facing today? You know, some of you might say, well, you know, I'm not really in a storm right now. But the truth is that you may be headed into one. You know, maybe for some of you, you'd say, I'm just coming out of one. But what is your storm today? And can I ask you this by way of application? Where are you turning for help in the storm? As you go through the storms of life, where do you turn for help? And then this is a very serious one. We talked about it throughout the message today. Are you encountering storms because of your own doing? You think about the storm that took place, how they went right into the storm, and it was really because of their own doing. Maybe for you it'd be because of your impatience. You don't want to patiently wait on God. Maybe for you it's like the application we gave where you're listening to the wrong advice. Hey, let's listen to God's word. Let's turn to God's word for advice. So that He is the one that comforts us. He's the one that encourages us. He's the one that helps us. And then maybe there's some today that would say, I'm in the storm of life because of a difficulty I brought on my own self, because I have more of a desire, and I have more of a desire for comfort and convenience than to have peace. Maybe for some it would be because I'm following the majority. And the majority might lead us the wrong way. And so let's not follow the majority and move right into the storm. Let's cling to those unmovable truths. The unmovable truth that Jesus is our anchor. There is a God. I belong to Him and I believe Him. When you cannot, as the song says, when you cannot see His hand, trust His heart. Because God knows what is best. When you go through the storms of life, are you in God's word, and are you in prayer, or has the storm of life driven you from it? Are you spending time in God's word and prayer? Or perhaps maybe you'd say today, you know, the storm has driven me away from it. Or, you know, the sad reality is it can be the other way around, that when we go through the storms, that's the only time we get into God's Word. That's the only time we spend praying. So let's make sure we spend some time in application today. No, I said this at the beginning of the message, but it's so true. No one ever said that the Christian race would be easy. Just like for the Galatian Christians, there can be hindrances along the way. It could be discouragement. It can be doubt. It can be difficulties. But listen, let's not let discouragement defeat us. Let's not let doubt defeat us. Let's not let the difficulties of life defeat us. Like our theme is this year, let's press on. Let's not give in to the hindrances in the race, but let's press on. Now, where you're at there, I'd ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, just like you would if you were typically in a service. You would just bow your heads and close your eyes, and I want you, by way of application today, to ask God to speak to you in such a way where He can draw to your mind a decision you may need to make for Christ today. And in just a minute, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to have a hymn of invitation that we'll be playing so that it will give you time right there where you're at, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, to speak to the Lord, just like if we would be in our building today. And I want you to ask God to show you what it is that He has spoken to you about today. Maybe somebody that's joined us by way of our video this morning would say, you know, there's never been a time where I've trusted Christ as my Savior. So I'm not even in the Christian race. Well, the Bible tells us it's as simple as receiving the gift that God has to offer us. We admit, we acknowledge the fact that we're sinners. We believe that God loved us enough to send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us, and we call on Him to be our Savior. So maybe there's somebody that would need to do that today, to be enlisted, to be entered into the Christian race, to be enlisted as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then as Christians, there are hindrances that we can certainly face in the race. One can be discouragement, one can be doubt, one can be the difficulties of life. But listen, let's not stay there long. Let's not let it defeat us. And maybe God has shown you today that you're needing His presence in the midst of the storm that you're facing. Do you believe God? Do you trust that His presence is there with you all the time? Do you know that you belong to Him? Are you trusting Him to take care of you and meet your need? Do you believe in Him? Have you brought a storm in your life because of your own doing? And maybe something you just need to confess to the Lord today and say, Lord, help me with that. Maybe the storm has driven you away from the Bible and away from prayer. Or maybe the only time you're spending in the Bible and in prayer is when you're going through the storms of life. Let's ask God to help us with the difficulties that we may face. Father, I pray that You would speak to hearts this morning in this moment.